The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel is written to us by Luke. Before I read this passage, let me say that it's a somewhat difficult passage because Luke has lumped together in one place all of Jesus' comments about wealth and money and the good use of it and the bad use of it. But as I read it, my guess is you're going to be sort of confused. So don't feel bad if you're confused, because it seems to be making about six different points. But stay with it, and I'll do what I can to make sense out of it afterwards. So Jesus said to his disciples, "A rich man had a steward who was reported to him for squandering his property. He summoned him and he said, 'What is this I hear about you? Prepare a full account of your stewardship.' The steward said to himself, 'What will I do now that my master is taking this position away from me? I'm not strong enough to dig. I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do, that they may welcome me into their homes.' And so he called in his master's debtors one by one. To the first one he said, 'How much do you owe, my master?' He replied, 100 measures of oil. He said, 'Here is your promissory note. Sit down and write 50. Then to another, he said, 'And how much do you owe?' He replied, 100 cores of wheat. The steward said to him, 'Here is your note. Write one for 80. And the master commended that dishonest steward for acting so prudently. Now that's supposed to cause you a little problem, isn't it? Jesus seems to be affirming dishonesty. But let's stay with it. Then he makes his point. Often the children of this world are more prudent in dealing with their own kind than are the children of light. I tell you, make friends for yourselves with dishonest wealth. What? So that when it fails, because it's going to fail you, that's his point, you will be welcomed into the eternal dwellings. The person who is trustworthy in very small matters is trustworthy in great matters. And the person who is dishonest in small matters will be dishonest in great ones too. If therefore you are not trustworthy with dishonest wealth, who will trust you with true wealth? If you are not trustworthy with what belongs to another, what is external to yourself, how will you be trustworthy with your very self?" And then his big and final point. No one can serve two masters. It's the most dualistic statement that Jesus ever makes. He will either hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon. This is the gospel of the Lord. Okay, you're all wondering, well, what's he going to do to make sense out of that? I'm not sure I can, but I'll try. First of all, let's find out what this word mammon is. I'm sure you never use the word. Mamona, or mammon, was either a Canaanite or a Syrian god, and he was the god of profit-making, the god of money-making, the god, frankly, who idealized greed, which in America is not even a fault anymore. It's considered a virtue. But in most of history, to make the profit motive the number one thing in your life was absolutely to be in love with a devil. And he makes it very clear here. You can't serve God and the God of money. So the most common way this is translated in many Bibles is you cannot serve God and money. Well, you and I both know the church itself has tried to do that. And many of us in the church have tried to do that. We sort of think we can have it both ways. We can have the false god of profit-making, greed, and endless accumulation of money, and still say that God is first in our life. What Jesus is saying is, it isn't possible. So, let's go back now and build up to that. And here's what I think are the three important lines. He says, make friends for yourself with the gaining of profit. There's nothing wrong with wanting to do a good job, even a little ambition. Frankly, people who work hard accomplish much more in life than people who are lazy. So he's saying there's nothing wrong with trying hard. But then he adds that line that I pointed out, so that when it fails you, because this endless making of profit will finally not be able to save you in any human or dignified sense. It is not the meaning of being human is to make more and more money. The one with the most toys at the end wins, we say in America now. And we have political candidates who seem to give us that impression. And people are even willing to vote for him. It's sort of hard to believe. It makes you wonder if Christians have ever heard the gospel. So he's saying, go ahead, play the game of profit making. It probably has something to teach you, but it will not finally satisfy you. It cannot finally feed you, but frankly, you're going to have to learn that for yourself. You're probably going to have to go out and try to make $1 million. I hope most of you didn't, but at least you made maybe enough, and that's okay. But you better let it disappoint you when it fails you, and it will. They say after opening a new package, you're excited about it for approximately 60 seconds. And then you're bored with it. Just watch kids under the Christmas tree, you know? Then you want another one, and another one, and another one. You see, the very notion of greed is that it does not satisfy. It simply is an addiction that you want more and more and more. And of course, if it really satisfied you, you wouldn't need more, would you? The very fact that you need more showed the old thing was not enough. Greed feeds on itself. Then his second point, and of course this is translated differently in different translations, even the one I used, but I'm going to give you my translation, if you don't mind. If you cannot be trusted with what is external to yourself, money, you know, money is just a piece of paper. It really is. Now I know it has a lot of power, and we all use it, and we all need it. But we've got to realize all of its power is projected onto it. And when you die, it isn't going to mean a dang thing. Right? Not a dang thing how much money you had. But while we're alive, it makes us feel rich and important and valuable. He says, but if you cannot be trusted with what is not you, dishonest gain is the way it was translated, how will you ever be able to be trusted with your own soul? If you don't know what's outside of you, how can you know what's inside of you? In other words, learn how to value things. Go ahead, first of all, by worldly standards, and then move higher. Michelle Obama even said this yesterday, if you were listening. She said, when they go low, you go high. When they go low, you go high. That's a fairly good motto for a Christian. When someone insults you, you don't have to take the low road and insult them back. You say something kind and better. And then, of course, the punchline that I ended with, you cannot serve two masters. You'll eventually have to choose sides. Is God number one, or is the profit motive number one? And I think every one of us has to ask that question. And it really doesn't depend on how much money you already have. I know people with a lot of money who are very generous in giving it away. There's some in this church. And I know people with almost no money who are completely greedy, completely materialistic. They wouldn't give away a dime to anybody. So it doesn't depend on how much you already have. It's your attitude toward it. Does your money define you? Does your money tell you you're wonderful, you're important, or you're influential? What this gospel is saying is, get ready to be disappointed.